Welcome to this Portland Christian Center podcast coming to you from Portland, Oregon. The following message, Giving and Thanks, is part of our series titled Overflow and is presented by lead pastor Ray Noah. We invite you to look at the downloadable sermon notes available with this podcast to get the most out of the message. So now let's join Ray as he begins this message.
Chapter 9. For our overflow series, as we come to the end of it today. You know, I've said now for 3 weeks we're coming to the end of it, and I mean it today. We're coming to the end of it. We have to, because next week is the beginning of Advent, and it's time for us to turn our thoughts and begin to rehearse the story of Christmas, of Christ coming. And I've got an exciting series for you. I've never heard it approached this way, but we're going to do a series on the Holy Family called Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. And we're going to take a look at God's family. You know, I don't know that I've ever seen or heard a sermon series on Christmas that's a family series. And, you know, when you think about it, wouldn't that be the model family that we can learn from? And so we're going to begin that next week in the season of Advent. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll have our Advent candles in the reading and all of that. And it's going to be a lot of fun that will get us ready to really honor the Lord's birth in a fresh and a powerful way. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, ending our overflow series with the final verse that Paul gives us in these two chapters, chapter 9 and verse 15. Chapter 9 and verse 15. And in the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament, this is how it reads. So put away your scripture for a second or just not look at it and focus up on the screen, because I want us to read this together. Are you ready? It says, "Thank God for his indescribable generosity." Amen. Thank God for his indescribable generosity. What a fitting way to end a series, to end a teaching on the generosity of God and our call to partner with God by having and offering generous hearts as well. Now, as you begin to grasp this incredible generosity of God. And you know, I don't know that we can fully grasp how generous God is. I don't think until we stand before him in eternity will we get the full picture of how generous this God of ours has been. And then we're going to go, oh my goodness, we had no idea. But as you begin to grasp it, then I think the thing that you will begin to experience is described there in back up in verse 11. Which says this, it calls it an overflowing tide of thanksgiving to God. As you begin to grasp how generous God has been, you will overflow with gratitude, with thanksgiving to God, an overflowing tide. And so on this Thanksgiving Sunday, let's talk about overflowing with gratitude. I think that's appropriate for this week, overflowing with gratitude, which, by the way, is both a byproduct of and a catalyst for generosity. It's a byproduct of. When you're grateful, you will be generous. And when you're generous, you will be grateful. And when you're grateful, more generosity will come to you. It's just that same cycle of abundance that God is calling us into. And so it's both a byproduct and a catalyst for generosity. Thanksgiving. You know, all parents, I think this is universal, have a question they ask of their kids. My parents ask it of me, and I've asked it of my kids as well. After kids receive a gift or a favor from someone, all parents will prompt their children with a question. And the question is, now, what do you say? Right? Did you get that from your parents, and did you do that with your kids? Now, what do you say? And the expected response is, thank you. Thank you. My parents would do that to me. They would say, Ray, what do you say to the nice man? Ray Michael, my middle name, and I knew when they said that I needed to pay attention. Ray Michael, what do you say to the kind lady? Ray, what do you say to your grandma for her lima bean casserole? Now, all kids know, every child knows, their parents don't really expect an honest answer there. Not really. My mom, my dad would have gone postal if I would have said what I really thought in that moment. Good Lord, Grammy, don't ever do that again. That's just a crime against humanity. Well, they didn't really care what I thought. They wanted a response of gratitude from me to say thanks. even if it was a mechanical thank you on my part. See, even if kids don't feel gratitude, we still want them to offer thanks because it's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. Why? Because every human being in this room today, every human being lives with a debt of gratitude to someone for something. Even if you can't think of something to thank someone for, you owe an eternal debt of gratitude to someone who's called God the Father. Everybody owes gratitude to somebody else for something. Now, we hope our kids won't just parrot those words, thank you, but will learn to be authentically grateful people, overflowingly so. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants from us, His children, that we would be overflowingly grateful, that there would be a tide of gratitude that would overflow from our lives back to Him and to other people in our lives as well. See, the habit of giving thanks, when you think about it, is one of the fundamental signs of a redeemed life. People that are saved are grateful, if for no other reason, because they're saved. It's also a sign of spiritual awareness. I mean, there are some people that are saved, but they're spiritually clueless, right? But to be spiritually aware, self-aware, spiritually aware, we're obligated to be grateful. And furthermore, gratitude is yet another conduit of a heart overflowing with generosity. Gratitude. That's why Ambrose, who was a guy that lived in the 4th century, he was the bishop of Milan, Italy. Ambrose said this. Now listen to this. This is a powerful and profound and a true statement. He said, "No duty is more urgent than that of returning thanks. No duty is more urgent than we would give thanks to God for His goodness." So I agree with that. And the reason for that urgency is that giving thanks is both our highest calling as well as one of the most self-benefiting things that we could do. It is a duty. We are obligated to be grateful. But it is also one of the best things that we can do for ourselves. And I want to talk about that today. I want to show you how gratitude actually prevents disease, spiritual disease in our lives. I want to show you how gratitude brings health to the self. Health to the self. For one, giving thanks prevents the disease of self-centeredness. It prevents the disease. And that is a disease. It is an emotional, spiritual, relational disease. The disease of self-centeredness. See, becoming self-focused is pretty easy in this selfish, narcissistic, entitlement culture that we live in today. I mean, you just look out there, if you're an observer of culture at all, you realize that we live in a pretty narcissistic culture. People think they are entitled to stuff. And here's the deal. The more you believe you are entitled to something, the less grateful you will be. It just works that way. Entitlement goes up, gratitude goes down. If you think that the government owes you health care, I'm not going to get political on this, I'm just saying. If you think the government owes you health care or retirement, if you think your parents owe you a great college education, they owe it to you. If you think the church owes you a primo parking spot, if you think you're entitled, your gratitude will go down. Your heart will shrink. You will become less and less grateful, which, remember, is the greatest duty that we have. No more urgent duty. Now, I'm not saying that health care and retirement and good college education and parking spaces are bad things. So I'm not being political on this. That's for a different discussion. I'm just saying this is about your heart. If your heart is demanding and entitled and self-focused and narcissistic, you will become less grateful. But gratitude forces us instead to recognize that it's God at the center of the universe. Not me, not you. God is. And that in itself is cause for gratitude, because it is only by His generosity that you and I in this moment are taking in perfectly good oxygen that somebody else could be breathing. Only by His generosity. I like how Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, the Lord's compassion never ends. It's only by His mercy that we are kept from utter destruction. If it weren't for the Lord's great mercy, we would have been consumed, vaporized already. His loving kindness begins afresh each day. Great is His faithfulness. We sang that hymn today, and that's true. Great is His faithfulness. I mean, think about it. If it weren't for God's generosity, you wouldn't even be able to be sitting here right now. You wouldn't be able to be sitting at a Thanksgiving table somewhere this week giving gratitude to God for His goodness. And giving thanks forces us into a perspective that sees every second of life as a gift from the Creator. That's what gratitude does. This morning, listen, this morning you got a new day because, and only because, God tapped you on the shoulder and He said, "Wake up. Get up and get going. I am loaning you the breath of life again today." In reality, that's why you're alive and breathing right now. Expressing that kind of gratitude for life, just at a fundamental level, for a heartbeat, for oxygen, for just being awake, being alive, keeps you focused on God's goodness and not yourself. That's a very, very health-giving kind of thing. So I want to encourage you today and this week, and especially on Thursday, that is our national holiday for Thanksgiving, and really every moment, every day of your life, I would encourage this as well, that you would let that tide of Thanksgiving overflow that Paul talked about. Let a tide of Thanksgiving overflow from you to God. It will keep God at the center and self in check. And that's a very, very important thing. It keeps you from the disease. It keeps you from eye disease. Eye. And keeps you focused on God's grace and God's goodness. Another benefit of giving thanks is that it prevents the disease of self-pity. Self-pity, and that is a disease. It is an emotional disease. It is a relational crippler, self-pity. Practicing gratitude forces us into a perspective that sees the hand of God and the plan of God even in times of unfairness and hardship and difficulty and disappointment and loss. Gratitude forces us to see that God's hand is there and God's plan is at work. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This is what it says. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And with a thankful heart, offer prayer to God. Then God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. People don't get, they can't explain why we can be in the peace of God when really bad stuff happens. They can't explain that. I can't fully explain it, except that I know that it's a gift, a promise of God. And this peace will control the way you think and feel. What that's saying is that, in fact, it is thankfulness that releases God's peace when all you would otherwise have would be emotional pain and devastation in your life. You can live in God's peace no matter what. Being thankful initiates such a lopsided exchange. It's just incredible. I give God my problems, and He gives me His peace. That's a lopsided exchange, by the way, isn't it? Say, God, here's my problems. He says, Ray, here's your peace, or here's my peace. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Wow. Why then, if I get that from God by offering gratitude, why would I not practice gratitude all the time? Listen, I will take God's peace any day of the week since that is the case. So I'm going to encourage you again today, this week, especially on Thanksgiving, all of your life, that you would let a tide of Thanksgiving overflow from you to God. It will keep you out of the pit of pity. Anyone ever been in the pit of pity? Anyone ever had a pity party? Huh? Are you having one right now? Don't show your hands on this. Listen, practice gratitude. It'll keep that from taking root in your heart. Pity. Bitterness and often that comes from it. Here's another benefit to the self from gratitude. Giving thanks prevents the disease of low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. Again, that is a disease because it affects us obviously personally and relationally, emotionally. Low self-esteem. How so? It forces us, gratitude forces us to see how blessed we really are. To see how blessed, how incredibly blessed we really are. For what we have, for who we are, for where we're headed. Because our esteem gets affected when we think that I have nothing. Our sense of worth gets affected when we think I'm nothing and nobody loves me. Our esteem gets affected when we don't have a great calling, a great mission, a great direction in our lives. But gratitude forces you to quit focusing on what you don't have and on what you do have, which is a lot, by the way. Not a single person in this room doesn't live in an incredibly blessed position before God. So what is it that we have? Well, how about salvation? If you had nothing else, you would be eternally indebted to God for him saving you. That's why Paul ends this chapter 9 with this outburst of thanksgiving, of gratitude. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is that gift? It's the gift of salvation. That's what we have. Who are we? Who are you? Well, James says, whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changes like a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Wow. That is who you are. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, God immediately adopted you into his family, and he embraced you, he fully accepted you, and he cherishes you as his child. So how could you have a low self-esteem when you understand that you are a beloved child of God? And that is what we are. And what about where we're headed? What about this grand purpose, this great mission that we have? Peter says, how fortunate we are to have this Father. Yes, indeed. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given new life and everything to live for, including a future in heaven. That's where we're headed. A future that starts now. Eternal life doesn't start the moment that you get to heaven. Eternal life starts the moment that you accept Jesus as your Savior. You are on your way. Huh. And then he says, and God is keeping careful watch over both us and our future. Why should you be grateful? Why should you have a low sense of self-worth and esteem when you know where you are headed? Eternal life, a future of purpose and destiny with God. No matter how down you feel or how low your esteem goes, you are still an eternally saved, heaven-bound, cherished child of God. And that is who you are. Yeah, you're worthy of all of that. You are. You're worthy of all of that. And you should stop trusting your emotions and giving place to your feelings about your esteem and start leaning into God's truth, God's word about who you really are. And if you have trouble believing how worthy you are, then just remember Jesus died on the cross for you. And that should be proof enough to believe that you're an incredibly, eternally worthy and wealthy individual. So I'm going to encourage you again today, this week, this Thursday especially, that you would let that tide of thanksgiving overflow from you to God. It will anchor your esteem in divine reality. The problem with people that have a low sense of worth, a low self-esteem, is they anchor that sense in their feelings, in their emotions, in their circumstances, and in what people say about them. I would challenge you instead to anchor it in God's reality, what he says to be true about you. It will prevent the disease of low self-esteem. One more benefit I want to give you this morning. One more benefit to the self that comes from gratitude. Giving thanks prevents the disease of self-perpetuating poverty. Some of you are living with a scarcity mentality, a spirit of scarcity. God wants you to live with a spirit of abundance, a spirit of abundance in every way. Gratitude forces generosity from you. And here's the deal. The more you give thanks, the more God will give you to be thankful for. That's that cycle of abundance we've been talking about for several weeks. Remember, the more that you give, the more God will give you so that you can give away, so that God can give you more to give away. Same thing with gratitude. The more that you give thanks, the more that you're a grateful person of gratitude, a person who overflows with thanksgiving, the more God will give you to be grateful for. Andrew Murray, a brilliant South African preacher, said this: to be thankful for what we've received is the surest way to receive more. If you truly believe that, you would become the most grateful person on the planet. It's the surest way to receive more. I hope you believe me. It's true. It's true. It's the surest way to receive more. So right now, I thought it would be helpful to kind of drill this point in a little bit more, to try an experiment. I mean, like really, right now, I'm going to do an experiment with you. And you're involved. You're my guinea pigs, okay? Okay? Well, it's an interesting person there. In a moment, I'm going to have everybody in the room stand. I know we've already greeted each other, but we're going to stand again, and we're going to interact for 60 seconds. Okay, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. Everybody on my left, so from the center aisle, down here, up in the balcony, you are going to stand, and you are going to greet each other with grumbling. I want you to do nothing but gripe as you greet each other, okay? You're going to be the gripers today. Today and today only. You're going to be gripers. Now, you can gripe about anything. You can gripe about the weather. You can gripe about your financial situation. You can gripe about your health. You can gripe about the ducks and the beavers. You could... already doing it. I would recommend that, that you don't gripe about your spouse if they're here. Say that for a different place. Don't gripe about the government, okay? We don't have enough time. And for sure, because this would be so ridiculous, don't gripe about your pastor, okay? So you're the gripers, got it? Okay, and on this side, my right, your left, everybody, the balcony down here, you're going to be the thankers today. Yeah. You're going to stand and you're going to greet each other for 60 seconds, give each other a chance to interact, but you're going to share what you're grateful for your pastor, for the beautiful day, for your health, for this wonderful worship, for your pastor, for Thanksgiving this week, for God's, you know, for your pastor. You're going to be just grateful for a lot of things, okay? So for 60 seconds, that's your assignment, okay? And then I'm going to show you something. Are you ready for this? I'm going to give you 60 seconds starting. So stand, ready? All right, go. All right, settle down, pull it back in, get control of your emotions. Okay, go ahead and take a seat. Take a seat, please. Take a seat. All right. You know what really concerns me is there's still a group going on over here. Could be that they have the spiritual gift of griping, and that, you know. Okay, so gripers and thinkers. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Show of hands on this one. How many of you, having just spent the last 60 seconds griping, how many of you feel more energized, more alive, more vibrant, and closer to God than you did pre-grumbling? Show of hands on this. Like three. Okay, they too have the spiritual gift of griping. So not many. Okay, the thinkers. Same with you. Show of hands on this. How many of you feel more alive, more vibrant, more closer to God after the fact that you've shared gratitude with each other? Wow. It's just 100%. 100%. It works that way. Now, you probably feel like I should offer you a chance to gripe and make them complain, but I don't have enough time for that, so you'll have to trust me. You can practice it later. Here's the deal. Gratitude opens the door to God's cycle of abundance. in every way, not the least of which is an overflowing abundance of joy. You felt better. You felt closer to God. You felt more alive. Best of which, I would say, of all the things that God abundantly gives us, is joy. It's better than money. It's better than things. It's better. Joy. David Stendhal Rass, who wrote a book simply entitled Gratitude, offered this profound insight, maybe the best takeaway for you today. This is what he said. The root of joy is gratefulness. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. That's good. Joy doesn't make you grateful. Gratitude makes you joyful. If you get that, if you can get that, it will revolutionize your life. There's a story that's told in a book called Living Life on Purpose about a man whose wife had left him, just had walked out on him. And he relates how giving thanks, literally changed his life. He'd lost faith in himself, in other people. He'd lost faith in God. He'd lost his joy. He was depressed. And one morning he got up and he decided to go to a restaurant, a diner, for breakfast. And he walked into the diner. It was full of people. And they all had their heads buried and they were eating their breakfast. They weren't interacting. They weren't joyful. They weren't smiling. They weren't talking. They were just into what they were doing. Except there was one booth in which a young mom and her little girl had come in, and they had just been served their breakfast, and the mom started to eat. When the little girl said to the mom, "How come we don't say our prayer? How come we don't give thanks over our food here?" Well, the waitress who had just set the plate down turned back, and she said, "Well, we do. We do pray here, and why don't you say grace, say thanks for the food?" And then she turned to the rest of the customers, and she said, "Okay, everybody, bow your heads." And everybody did. They all bowed their heads, and this little girl began to say the blessing. She folded her hands, and she began to pray, God is good, God is great, and we thank him for this food. Amen. Suddenly, the entire place changed. People started talking and smiling and having fun. And the waitress said, "We ought to do this every day." The man who wrote the article responded, was relating this story, said, "You know, from that little girl's example, I began thanking God for what I did have instead of focusing on what I didn't have. It was a choice that I made. And suddenly, my soul was enriched. Suddenly, my whole frame of thinking was changed." That's what gratitude does. It lifts us. It blesses us. It enlivens us. It gives us health. And so I want to encourage you that you would let a tide of thanksgiving flow from you to God, because it will release a tidal wave of joy into your soul. You offer a tide of thanksgiving to God, he will unleash a tidal wave of joy back into your soul. So let me just say it again, that you would give thanks. Give thanks. It's your duty. It's your spiritual, your Christian duty. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances," not just the good ones, but in all circumstances, "for this is what is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Why is it God's will? Well, because it's God's will, and he knows more about this than we do, but he also knows what it will do for us. And that's the second thing I want to remind you of, that you would and challenge you to give thanks because it is good for you. Spirit, soul, emotions, relationships, and even physically. Did you know that? Being grateful has physical benefits to you as well. There's a guy by the name of Bruce Chapman. He's a professor at the University of Washington, and he wrote this article that appeared a couple of years ago in the Seattle newspaper. This is what it says. He says, and he's done research on this through his work at the university. He says, when one is grateful, it's hard to feel angry, resentful, or bitter. Some medical scientists think gratitude is healing. They're only discovering what the Bible says. They think gratitude is healing, that the emotion of thankfulness releases endorphins that produce a feeling of well-being. In contrast, fear and anxiety and hostility pump adrenaline into one's veins, which raises blood pressure. And when you live with blood pressure that's been raised and it stays at that level, it has debilitating effects upon your life physically. And so Professor Chapman says, and it says that he calls gratitude therapy for the spirit. Therapy for the spirit. A young lady came to me a few weeks ago down here at the altars during our prayer time. And she came down young, beautiful young gal, maybe 21, 22 years of age. And she just said, I just need prayer. I'm just suffering, and physically I'm a wreck. And I said, what's going on? Because I'm just living under a lot of stress and anxiety, and I feel pressure. And when that happens, I begin to get, you know, feelings of anxiety, and my stomach is upset, and I can't sleep at night, and it just gets worse. And the Lord prompted me in that moment, not only to pray for her, but to say, here's what I want you to do this week. Whenever you feel any of that coming on, I want you to practice Thanksgiving therapy, because it will change your life. She walked out of here. I haven't talked to her since then, but I hope that she's doing that. Thanksgiving therapy will change your life, body, soul, and spirit. Ronald Glasser, who is a virologist, studies viruses at Ohio State University, says this. He says, stressed out grumblers. So not only people that are stressed out, but that gripe about it. Sorry, guys. The grumblers. Stressed out grumblers are 2.5 times more susceptible to colds than grateful people. So it's literally true. Grumpy, gripey, and grateful people are snottier than grateful ones. It's true. And one of my favorite preachers, and I'm sure for you, many of you as well, A.W. Tozer. And listen to this. This is profound. He says, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make, and be not poor, but richer for having made it. That's because of the cycle of abundance that our gratitude brings us into. King David wrote in Psalm 27, verses 6, 7, he said, listen to this. I've thrown my lot in with God. He said, I'm going with God. Now I'm overflowing with joy and singing my thanks to him. We're going to close this morning, and I'm going to give you a chance to express your gratitude in a final act of worship that will not only declare your gratitude to God, but will express your covenant to God to enter into his cycle of abundance. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back, and we're going to come, and as we do this, we're going to sing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to take your covenant card that's in the bulletin that you've supposedly, hopefully, been praying about, thinking about over the past few weeks. And like we did in the first service, we have three little areas down here. And those of you in the balcony, you're going to have to make a little bit longer journey. And as an act of worship, we're just going to come and we're going to place, as an act of gratitude, a grateful worship, we're going to place these in the box. I think this is important. It's not just a way to manipulate you or get more out of you. This is not about money. This is not about an amount. This is not about tithing. This is not a pledge. This is simply you saying, this is my covenant, God. I'm going to enter in with you, and I'm going to partner with you, and I'm going to make myself available to you through my generosity so that you can release your abundance in me, so that you will give me more so that I can give away more, and I will enter into that cycle of abundance that you've created me for. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do that. And by the way, we're not the only ones doing it. Pastor Phil told me this morning that he's made one of these cards a little bit more creative than ours that the kids are using as well. And they're going to look at the same three categories that is on the covenant card that I'm going to ask you to check off. And I'm going to ask you to put your name on it, if you would, and all of your information. And I'm going to ask you to bring this down. And here's what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to pray over this. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to pray over this, and we're not going to tabulate it. I'm going to pray over this, and I'm going to send this back to you at the beginning of next year, just to remind you of the covenant and the covenant faithfulness of God, that God will do what he said he will do for you if you will do what you've promised to do to God, do for God. And I'm going to put one of these, Linda and I are going to put one of these in as well, and I didn't consult with her on this, but I know that she trusts me implicitly. And I want you to know what I've done. I want you to know where my heart is. I'm checking out the second box. It is, I want to increase my giving to the Lord. We've been faithful givers all of our lives, and all of our adult lives and ministry lives. We just do. We've come to believe in it because our parents taught us and modeled it for us, and we've seen that God is true to his word. But I think there's more. I think there's more. And I tell you what, I want to be a conduit of more. I want God to give me more as a person and as a pastor of this church so that we can give away more and do more for God and have a greater impact for God. And so I want to take a step of faith. I want to covenant with God that that would be the case in our lives in the next few weeks and in the next few months and years to come. But maybe for you, you're just going to say, you know what, I'm going to just be grateful to God that I'm able to do what I'm doing, and I'm going to continue doing that, and I'm going to offer that, the first box, I'm going to offer that as simply a declaration. God, I'm sticking with the covenant, and I'm trusting that you're going to be faithful to the covenant as well. And then the last one, maybe you've not tried this before. Maybe you look at this and you say, man, I'm not a tither, I'm not a giver, I've not been generous with the Lord and through the church with my giving, and you know, and I've been wrestling with that, but I'm ready to take that step of faith. And I'm going to try God. I'm going to give God a shot. I'm going to give God a chance to prove himself to me that he is the covenantly faithful God. So I'm going to uphold my end of the covenant by taking this step of faith. And I'm going to just trust that God is going to release his abundance to me. But you might be thinking, you know, man, I don't know that I could afford to add that in to an already tight budget. I think those of us who have already known God's faithfulness, we already practice giving and tithing and generosity, would say to you, you can't afford not to do this because God will give you much more than what you have right now if you will give a portion of it generously back to him. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that in a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to make this faith, I call it a faith walk. I think there's precedents in the Bible. At times, you know, the Lord asks his people to erect something of a memorial of remembrance for something that God had done or had called them to. When they came through the Red Sea, that's what they did. When they came through the Jordan River, they had to take stones out of the middle of the Jordan, and they set up a memorial to show that what and to remind them what God had done in that moment in the covenant that he had called them to. Throughout the Old Testament, when you get to the New Testament, Jesus said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me until I come back, and that is the Lord's Supper. And so there are times when we need to establish this spiritual marker, this reminder of the covenant. And I believe that this is that moment where we can do that financially and say, God, I'm all in, and I'm counting on you. I'm throwing my lot in with you, and I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that you have even given me the ability to do this, and thanksgiving knowing what you are going to do in the future. I'm going to thank you in advance for what that is. So, we're going to sing, and we're going to come, but before we do that, I want to pray over these. So I'm going to ask you to take one of these, and I'm going to ask Ron Stokes to come, and he's going to pray over you and over us. And Ron is the chief stewardship officer of the church. And I told him this morning to be ready for some spontaneous moment. I didn't prep him for this. So I want you, before you pray, I want you to talk about your story. You've told me before of how God challenged you one time to get in with him and what he's done for you.
Well, thank you. I don't want to lose my card here, but about 40 years ago, in a church nearby, it wasn't this church here, we had an opportunity, my wife and I, to do this very same thing. I was a very new Christian. I was just learning about things of God, and there was given a card very similar to this, and one of the boxes on there was to say, I'm going to trust God today to begin giving. I had given minimally, as we prayed about that, and the Holy Spirit really began to deal with me, as I was sitting in that church, I did check that box. I said, I'm going to be giving today for the very first time on a consistent basis. And so to thank God for his indescribable generosity, I made that commitment that day. And you know what? On the way home from church, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I've been looking at my budget, thinking about this. I checked the box, and there's no room for this. We're going to have to cut out groceries or quit making car payments or something. And she said, you know, let's just pray and trust the Lord for this. So we did, and about 30 days later, our house payment went down. I have no idea how that happened. It was not an adjustable rate mortgage. They didn't even exist 40 years ago. But about 60 days after that, I got a raise and a promotion where I worked. So in the course of about 90 days, ended up with more disposable income than we had to begin with. So I'm convinced that that's what God had for me, and you know what? I think that's what God has for you too.
Amen. I'm going to ask you, Ron, to pray over this. And would you stand and just take your card and just lift it to the Lord? And before he prays, let me just say this. I don't want anyone to be embarrassed or uncomfortable. And if you're not ready for this, but you would like to be, but you're not ready for this, I would just encourage you to put down, I'm not ready for this, and bring it down. And I'll pray for you. I will pray for you. I really will. If you walked in today and this is your first time here and you're going, oh, they're talking about money, then you can write down, I don't really like you, but I'd like to come into God's cycle of generosity, and you bring that, you can be a part of this, you can bring that down. I will pray for you as well. I really will. So whatever the case, no one needs to be left out of this. God wants to bless you. So why don't you pray that blessing over us, Ron?
Hold your cards up, an act of commitment. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to bless you and to receive from you. And so we take this covenant card, and we covenant with you. And a covenant is in some ways, it's a partnership. And we're going to do our very best to covenant and commit to you that we are going to give, as we've indicated on here. And the commitment from your end is to bless us. And so we're going to work like it depends on us, but we're going to look to receive the blessing because it depends on you. So we thank you for that, for whatever box has been checked. And so, Father, as we lay these in an act of commitment and consecration to you, we just pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, that your blessings would overflow to each of us. And we thank you, Lord, and we just commit these to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So as we sing, bring these with a grateful heart and place them before God, and let's see what God will do. Let's sing.
Sing, here I am, I've come to find you.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring part of our series, Overflow. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect or just visiting us here in Oregon, please join us for one of our services. For more information about our church, you can find it right here on our website. That's pcctoday.com.